45.
Elon.
Brown, 45.
Hot.
You are listening to Any Given Sunday, Australia.
Yes, hello and welcome to the Any Given Sunday Australia podcast, the number one podcast in this household. Our ever-reliable TC24 is gone. It's his first shift away for the month, but we have subbed in someone who's equally, probably, if not better, for the job. He's not a knee brazzy, but he's a collarbone cousin or something like that. We've got our NBA pundit, Danny Webb. How are you, mate?
Oh, mate, I am good. Thank you for having me. I'm glad we sorted out a deal with my management. I'm glad that all came to it. I'm just waiting on my helmet, which is part of the sign-on bonus. But anytime that arrives, then we'll be good to go.
And we should mention that it's a Philadelphia helmet you wear. You've got the jersey or the old
school
t-shirt on at the moment. Yeah, lovely. How good is that?
Go Birds.
Be careful that,
go Birds.
Be careful of that collarbone, mate. Careful. So it is hopefully a four-week contract that we've got you.
Yeah, four-week contract. Yeah. And potentially room to sign on longer, I heard. That's what management's fighting for. You never know. could be straight up in for the replacement.
Last time we had you on, we said, if you do better than Cardi, he's gone. And I reckon there's every chance that he's not coming back.
Oof. Tough call. Otherwise, it might be a trio. Who knows?
Yeah, that's it. We haven't done a trio yet, so that'll be exciting. I don't know how to work with the screen and everything like that. I'm just going to check if we're possibly live on YouTube. We are. We're on live on YouTube, mate. Congrats.
First time. Beautiful. This is the first time we've ever been live on YouTube. Hello, YouTube.
Yeah. Hello, YouTube. Everyone. we've had a few views on there, so we're actually quite... we're climbing on the YouTube, which is a bit odd.
Odd? That's great, you mean. You want to be climbing on YouTube. the more views, the better.
I didn't expect us to be doing as well as what we seem to be. But I do have the game on at the moment. We've got the Baltimore Ravens versus the New Orleans Saints. We're 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. This is why I said to Cardi the other day, I don't like when it goes to the 12 o'clock start games, because we would have been sitting perfectly in the last quarter if this was a normal 11:15 game. We would have had the game finished pretty much as we do everything, but it'll probably be halfway during the last quarter when we're done. But that's all right. We'll work with what we've got.
Well, hopefully it's a little bit of a blowout, so then we can confirm the winner.
Oh, no, I've lost. It is currently 14-3. I'll be back in a second. I reckon someone's calling me on the phone. Currently 14-3, the Ravens are up against the Saints. But all right, while this is my phone, will be back for those who are watching. I do have something for you, Danny, that I said would be...
It's time for questions without notice.
This is normally a segment for Timmy, who is coming to be quite the NFL nuffy, but I didn't tell you this was happening, but I have looked after you a little bit. We've only got two questions, and they're pretty much opinion pieces. So, but next week, you've had another week, another 4 hours. That'll be in your contract, 4 hours of study. And we'll give you a bit more harder questions. But this week, two questions. First one's about your Eagles. Can they go all the way undefeated, 17-0?
Well, just to help me a little bit with my NFL history knowledge, has any team done it before?
Not 17-0, only I think it was 1972 Miami Dolphins. Yeah, it was 50 years this year. The Miami Dolphins did it. It was only 13 games back then, but they did go 17-0 with all the way to the Super Bowl, yeah. So only one team ever.
Well, because I'm a diehard Philly fan, I'm going to say yes. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. We're going to do it. It's going to be tough because obviously no team's gone the whole 17. But yeah, absolutely, I believe it can be done. The way Jalen Hurts has been going, like really going to be hard to lose. Like we gave it a good crack this week, which I'm sure we'll get into. Like almost tried to throw it away, but then pulled it out in the second half. So
you did, which... You don't want to win easy every week, so that's nice. Got to keep the ticker, nice and strong and be like that. But
keep everyone on their toes. Keep everyone on their toes.
We keep saying it every week. We've got to back the Eagles until we don't, or until they give us a reason not to. So There's a fair chance they go undefeated. But the second question is, because you're our NBA man, I've made it an NBA one. Can the Bucks go undefeated? That'd be absolutely huge.
So no team in NBA history has ever gone undefeated. Like the most is 83 wins. Oh, sorry. Is that right? No, because they two games in the season. 73 wins, 9 losses. And that was the Warriors who ended up losing the Cavs in the finals. No, I don't think the Bucks are going undefeated.
I'll change it. Undefeated's a bit much, but can they beat 73-9?
With the way they're playing at the moment, there's actually a really good chance because they don't even have Chris Middleton back at the moment, and they are playing incredibly. I backed them at the start of the season. I backed the Bucks at the start of the season to win the chip overall. I had absolute faith, and they are proving me very right, which is fantastic.
I think they are 9-0 at the moment, currently playing. I don't have the scores, but they are currently playing.
Every team's currently playing. All there's 15 games. All 30 teams are playing today.
Bullshit. How good's that? What a day.
Yeah.
Does that happen? How often does that happen?
I think it's because there's probably a national vote happening tomorrow in the States. They're gonna have no games tomorrow, and they've got them all on today. But yeah, they're staggered for the first time ever. So they start 15 minutes apart. I don't really know what the plan was with that. I don't know if they're planning on doing an NBA red zone, which has never, ever worked. But, it's really, really strange.
That's cool. That's very cool. They do that late in the season with the NFL when it's very tight. The last Sunday of the year everyone plays. It is good. All right, we'll get into some news quickly. There's one big, massive story, which is pretty much, it's only in the last couple of hours. So we're going to say we're breaking news. The Indianapolis Colts have fired their head coach and their offensive coordinator, which is the same guy, Frank Reich. And they've put in their old offensive lineman, Jeff Saturday, which I put on our socials earlier. Just for your, I know you've done a little bit of reading about it, which you're going to come in with some stats, but just to give you an idea of what this kind of means. So they've got rid of their head coach. It's pretty much like the Celtics got rid of Edamame Beans, whatever his name was. and get, you know, Paul Pierce and say, Paul Pierce, we want you to come and coach. That's kind of what has happened. Saturday's not the star, but he was a bloody good player for them for a long time.
Yeah, and he's had only very minor coaching experience in the past, wasn't it?
Yeah, he coached a high school team. But
yeah, okay.
At least I feel like he's gonna come in and be like a manager more than a play caller. He'll hopefully bring in a play caller and just kind of bring the team back together. They seem to be a little bit lost, and he's the right kind of man to bring them and kind of galvanize them again.
Yeah, whenever a player is like returning back to a team that they previously played for, especially because he played for 13 seasons, like you're going to come back and hopefully all the players are going to respect you right from the jump. So I think it's actually kind of a smart move because they've got like not the greatest continuity at the moment, like the worst offense in the league. So it's going to be good for them to give them a little bit of a confidence boost, I think, going into the rest of the season.
Yeah, so they've only put him on for the rest of the season. So it's not as if they've said, here's your head coach role. But if he goes well, like, how often do you see that the interim coach gets a head job?
Yeah, like it happens relatively often in the NBA. So, but also it's a tough spot to be in because they'll still be interviewing everyone come end of season.
Yeah, I do wonder. He does seem to be a bit out the box. They did say that we want to go outside the room, I guess, outside the current organisation. I wonder if he's going to put his hand up to actually go for the head role. Like, that'd be a pretty big deal.
You'd be silly not to, wouldn't you? You're just especially if you can turn them around even slightly. If you slightly improve, especially their offense, towards the end of the season, you'd be silly not to put your hand up for the role because then you're at least coming in with a coach with experience who's actually helped the offense get better.
Yeah,
but I guess only time will tell with that one.
It'll be interesting on Thursday when you're back. I very much believe in the adage of, you know, new coach, first team, first week, they go usually play pretty well. So I'm not sure who they're playing, but I'd probably be a little bit worried.
Yeah, it's a new coach bump.
One or 2 weeks, and they usually pick up. Because those players are playing for pretty much their careers, most of them too, like, they're not guaranteed next year, a lot of them. So playing well under the new head coach, I reckon that's why you see a bit of a bump. If it might be more than 1 week.
Yeah, which would be great for them because they absolutely need it right now.
Yeah, they suck. 3-5-1 So it's they started off slow last year. One thing about it though, he's had seven. I think he was. I'm not sure how many years he was coached for, but he had seven different starting quarterbacks, which is unheard of. Like the Packers, I always bring it back to the Packers, but they've had two starting quarterbacks in the last 30 years, and they've had seven in seven. So it is a bit tough on him, but you can't keep rolling the same train and keep losing, and then you know what? Isn't that the same? What's that? The same thing over and over again? And is the I don't know. Whatever the fuck you say.
But hopefully he does. Hopefully they do get a little bit more continuity. Because, like you're saying, seven quarterbacks in seven seasons—that's just not really good enough. And I know that wouldn't be all to do with him, but when a coach and a quarterback has good continuity, normally they're going to stick together.
They do, and they usually play pretty well. So it will be interesting. I'll be definitely keeping my eyes on the Colts. We're just live in the game. The Ravens have kicked a field goal, so up 17-3. Midway during the third. All right, some injury news. Just in case my Packers were not struggling enough, we've had two players that are possibly gone for the rest of the season. Rashan Gary and possibly Eric Stokes too. They've both gone down during the game. And you mentioned before, we had eight players go down during the game. Most of them will be back. But there's two that were possibly lost for the year, which are pretty big losses for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, like a couple of your players just went into concussion protocol, but that was like just for the game. It was just precautionary, just because of you know, that's what they've got to do for concussion. But it's not looking too good. So obviously Stokes came out and he had a boot on his right leg and he was on crutches, and they said he suffered ankle and knee injuries. There's only 7 weeks left. Like, how many people do you see come out in a boot who's complaining of ankle and knee injuries who come back after that? It's going to be because they just said they haven't confirmed anything about Stokes' injury yet, have they?
Nah, not that I've seen. But Rashan Gary, they've said, is it ACL? Is that what I read?
Yeah, ACL. So he's gone for this season, and they potentially don't even think he'll be started. Like, he won't be back at the start of next season either.
He won't be so back. You think it's a good? It's usually what, 9 or 12 months, and especially he's a big man. He's a big defensive linesman. He's like an edge rusher. So. The bigger the man, I usually find that the bit harder for them to come back on their knees, I reckon.
Yeah, and the position, like you need to be strong to be doing exactly what he's doing.
Very a lot of explosive movements. So yeah, you're spot on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the Giants have lost Xavier McKinney for at least 4 weeks. They've put him on the IR, but it's through the non-football related injury. How has he gone out and hurt himself, Danny?
So he was riding an ATV. So for those who don't know, it's a four-wheeled motorbike. Apparently he was on a sightseeing tour and then has hurt his hand. Personally, if I played in the NFL, I wouldn't be riding one of them because the coach gave him a week off because they had a bye week. So gave him off until today. I think today they're meant to be getting back to it. And during that time, he crashed on his ATV and destroyed his hand.
Yeah, it doesn't sound, when you're saying he's done a tour, it doesn't sound like he was being too much, you know, like of an idiot, I guess. Like you hear some of the players go out and do some stupid things. But you're right. It's still probably a bit of a risk mid-season. Maybe wait till the off-season to do it.
Yeah, that's coming from his own socials. That he was on a tour. Yeah, so, is that... I'm not putting words in his mouth. I'm not going to put words in his mouth or anything, but if I hurt myself doing something silly, I would definitely be using some form of cover-up story, for sure.
Yeah. You did tell us that you slipped in the shower to break your collarbone, but I don't know how much I read it.
I did slip in the shower.
Yeah. All right, well, we have no other reason but to believe you, I guess. And last of all, the could be possibly a big news story, but I reckon it won't be. But you know, we'll never know. But Bills quarterback Josh Allen is being evaluated for a UCL injury. You're our injury man. What's a UCL?
So UCL is the ligament that's in your elbow, and it happened to be in his right elbow. So he was going back and had it cocked ready for a nice big pass, and a defensive player came and literally ripped his elbow. And I'm no doctor. I have hurt myself a lot, but I'm no doctor. But the way his arm bent, Did not look well. It was like he almost looked like he fully hyperextended his elbow. And he went off and came back on and still threw like an absolute dime. But I wouldn't say after that amount of stretching in that ligament on your passing hand as a quarterback, it is definitely not a good injury to have.
No, and look, yeah, like you said, right-handed quarterback, right elbow. It's not ideal. I imagine he'd be on a rep count this week. He'd be a lot of ice on that elbow and getting back.
Yeah, and the next game they got is up against the Vikings as well. So
7-1 Vikings.
Yeah, 7-1 Vikings. So they absolutely need him as well. They do have a second quarterback ready to go, but as the Bills, especially with Super Bowl aspirations, you want Allen being there. But also, you want it to be as healthy as possible. So if you bring him back...
Well, that's what I say. Put your coach's hat on. I'll put it to you now. They play the 7-1 Vikings this week. He goes out there and plays, cops another knock, and, you know, maybe the ligament...
snaps.
I don't know, swells up. I don't want to go worst case scenario, but swells up. For a longer period of time. Or do you say, do you know what? We'll give him a week off. We'll put our backup quarterback, which I don't have who it is, but we'll put him in there for the week. Worst case scenario, you lose one game, you know? Like, I know they lost this week, but is it worth losing a game to keeping your quarterback as healthy as you can?
So, Allen himself hasn't missed a regular season game since his rookie year, where he actually had another UCL injury in the same spot, so in his right elbow, which actually caused him to sit out 4 games. So if I'm going to risk a player who has previous history of this injury, if it's only going to mean 1 game off, even if it is against the Vikings, like I'd take the L. If it comes to it, I'll take the L to have him for one game out to then, rather than miss 4 games, because we're getting relatively close to crunch time now. So there's no way you want him missing any more than one. So if it gives him the opportunity to let it heal, that's my guess. My guess, it looked pretty nasty, but he did come back in. So the fact that he came back in, maybe you'll miss one this week, but maybe you won't. Maybe they'll just try and get him straight back in it. And but if me, as the coach, I would be sitting him down.
Well, the fact that he's had the injury before, I reckon that probably helps. Like, I know it's bad to get repeat injuries, but you'd be able to lean on him and say, look, how does it feel? What did it feel like last time you missed 4 weeks? Like, I think that one positive of having the injury before, I guess.
Yeah, and the fact that he's not a rookie anymore, like he's played a lot of games, he's been a quarterback for a long time now.
And he's a lot bigger. You wouldn't have seen him in his rookie year, but he wasn't small, but he's 6'5" and a bloody beast at the moment. So
yeah, and that's the thing, he's gonna know his body a whole lot more. Like all he's done since his rookie year is train and play. So he's gonna know when his body's right. So if it comes down to it and the coach asks him if he's ready to play, he'll probably say yes because he wants to play. But
yeah, absolutely.
At the same time, I think he will probably be the best person to be able to tell whether he's right to go or not.
Yeah, absolutely. Looks like 2 minutes to go in the third. The Saints are in the red zone. So still 17-3, but the Saints are in the red zone. Ooh, Taysom Hill. Nah. All right. Third and four. All righty. And last story I just wanted to touch on that we don't have to go into it too much. I don't know if you have any notes about it, but Tom Brady has become the first quarterback to throw for 100,000 yards. Now, I believe before he took the record off Drew Brees, it was about 84,000. So he's at least 16,000 ahead of anyone else.
Yeah. So I did see today it was like 84,900 and something. So it is a huge amount to be above. And so good for him that he did come in a much-needed win against the Rams as well. And he had his 55th game-winning drive of his career during that as well. So like he wasn't just getting his yards just to be getting reps. They needed that win so bad. And he came out and performed and put his classic Brady jersey on and went back to his old self, which was good. It was really good to see.
And a nice stat to come out of it. Oh, the Saints got sacked. They're going for a field goal straight through the middle. 17-6 late in the third. A stat to come out of it. Tom Brady is now 1-0 as a single man.
Yeah, I did see that. He's undefeated since he's been divorced.
Yeah, so might come out and work really well for him.
Yeah, well, like, I've I've never been divorced, but I've heard that there is a long, long process, and it would be stressful. Like even playing as a professional athlete, where you got all your lawyers doing everything you need to do, having that monkey off your back, like it's probably going to be a good thing. You might be able to play a little bit more relaxed
and a bit more freedom. Absolutely.
Just focus on the game.
Yeah. So interesting. We'll see how they go. I don't know. Again, I don't know who they got next week. I got this week's scores, but yeah. All right, mate, that is all the news that we have. We're going to get into this week's games and do a bit of a review now. You're going to take us through them, and I'll add in some comments here and there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, obviously, we are...
You're really taking over the TC24 role. I love it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm gunning for his job. Caddy, I'm coming for you.
So you should be worried.
Yeah. As we touched on at the start, my Philly Eagles are now 8-0 undefeated, which is fantastic. So they beat the Texans 29-17. Jalen Hurts threw for 243 yards, got two touchdowns. Pierce, the running back, rushed 139 yards, which is pretty incredible as a rookie.
Yeah.
The next game on was the Chargers.
We'll just say about that game. You said they tried to lose it. It was 14-all at halftime with the Eagles, but they just looked in control after that. There was a couple of picks for the Eagles, so second half just kind of did what they needed to do and got the job done. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, Hurts came through with some absolute massive plays. Like, he only misfired on six occasions. He went 21 of 27, which is pretty incredible as itself. And yeah, they outscored the Texans 15-3 in the second half. So
Did what they needed to do.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Texans put on a little bit of pressure, but Hurts wasn't going to let that happen.
Yeah. All right, I'll cut you off. Let's go to the next game.
Yeah, all right. So next we had the Chargers versus the Falcons, and the Chargers took away this one 20-17. I didn't actually get to catch this game, so if you have anything to touch on that one.
Just another good win by the Chargers, and probably a much-needed win after the bye. Herbert come out, 245 and a touchdown, but they actually kicked the game-winning field goal as time expired. So, good win for the Chargers. With the Falcons not really being the team that we all expected, they're definitely in every game that they've played.
Yeah, which is always good. Always good to see some competitive football.
Yeah.
The next game was the Miami Dolphins versus the Chicago Bears. The Dolphins took this one 35-32, another close game. The Miami's quarterback threw for 302 yards with three touchdowns, which is...
Are you going to try and say the name?
No, absolutely not. Tagovailoa.
Was it close?
Yeah, I was close.
Just say his name's Tua. Let's just go with Tua.
Yeah, Tua. Tua's much easier. Any more on that one?
It was a type of game that the Dolphins were always just that one touchdown ahead. The Bears played pretty well. Justin Fields didn't light it up in the air, but he's had the longest rushing touchdown by a Bears quarterback ever, which was like 69 yards or something like that. He has carried himself for 178, which is also a record for a quarterback. And then Tyreek Hill just doing what he does, 143 yards and a touchdown. They've looked grouse since Tua's come back. So Dolphins just doing the right things again.
Yeah, the internet kind of blew up about Fields being like, it's incredible what he did, but he's also your quarterback. So they're like, well, should he really be going for that many rushing yards, or should he actually be settling into his role where, like, pass first, run second?
Yeah, I get that, but if that's the kind of quarterback he is, if he's gonna keep you in the game against Miami, fuck.
I wouldn't be complaining. I'm just saying, like,
Lamar Jackson, who's playing now, is exactly the same quarterback, but no one says it because he can do it and gets away with it, But
yeah, absolutely.
If he's going to do it and keep it in games, then look, I'm watching Lamar's rushing right now as we speak, and he didn't get the first down. But if that's the kind of quarterback he is, then let him play, I reckon.
Yeah, and it's even like in games, which I'm sure we'll get to later, but like Mahomes rushed for so many plays, and actually won them the game. But anyway, we'll get to that.
Everyone goes, how good Mahomes, he done it on his feet, but then Fields does it, and they go, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Just
what's good for the goose is good for the gander, isn't it?
Yeah, And if if I was the Bears and I only went down 3 to the Dolphins, especially after the season Miami's had, I'd be very happy with that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So next we had the Panthers versus Maxi's Bengals, and they doubled them. So it was, the Bengals were 42-21 to the Panthers. Burrow passed for 206 yards with one touchdown. Mixon had 153 rushing yards for 4 touchdowns.
And he had a receiving touchdown too. So he had 5 touchdowns for the games, Mixon.
5 touchdowns total. That's pretty damn incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. So there was a stat at halftime that the Bengals had 35 points on the board and the Panthers only had 32 actual offensive yards. So they outscored them like points to yards, which was incredible. The Panthers scored a couple of touchdowns late, but this was never a game. This was, the Bengals were all over them.
Yeah, and that's like, when you're that far ahead, especially if it's points to yards, like the game's well and truly done and dusted, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it was, yeah. They brought Baker Mayfield came back at halftime. They started, I've forgotten his name, but they brought Baker Mayfield back at halftime.
Yeah.
Next game, we can probably just skip the next game and go on to the Colts.
So the next game is obviously we already touched on your banged up Packers lost to the Lions 15-9. To only score 9 points on Detroit isn't Green Bay's finest performance at all.
No.
Rodgers still passed for 291 yards, but only for 1 touchdown.
And 3 interceptions, which I think is the first time he's ever done that, and 2 of them were in the red zone. So, not a great day for us. We had like 4 or 5 red zone where we didn't score, which we only lose by 6 points. And there's, if you kick 4 field goals, you win. But yeah, not great. But our boy Lazard, 4 receptions for 87 yards and a touchdown. So he's doing all he needs to do. But yeah, there's a lot going wrong at the Packers. I think we're like a week 13 bye, but I don't think that can come quick enough.
Yeah, and even with that, like you're 3-6 now in a relatively stacked division. Like you're in a fair bit of trouble. I was listening to a pod this morning that was talking about like, is it time to move on from Aaron Rodgers and like blow the whole thing up?
Because not throw the fucking baby out of the bathwater, guys.
Just because like you got so much money locked up next season. They've kind of gone all in and it hasn't really necessarily worked out too well. But anyway, I don't really want to make you cry on your own potty.
So. Yeah, there's a big jam. I did get a welfare check from Maxi, which was nice, but
yeah.
I think he was taking the piss when he did it, but I'll take it for what it was worth.
Yeah. Maxi, not being sincere? No, you couldn't write about it.
I would not dream about it.
All right, so we'll move on for that one. And so that way you can put the box of tissues away. So next we had the Colts, which we already touched on a fair bit, against the Patriots, and they went down 26-3. Obviously, that was the straw that broke the camel back when it came to the coach. But passing, Jones had 147 yards and 1 touchdown. And there's not too much more to add on this game apart from what we are. What we said about the coach getting done.
I think it was Belichick just being too good for a rookie quarterback. I reckon that's pretty much all that needs to be said.
Yeah. Next one was a nice close one, and well, I was surprised, but I don't know about if you were surprised. I definitely didn't tip him in our little tipping competition, but the Jets beat the Bills 20-17. Allen threw for 205 yards. With 2 interceptions?
2 interceptions, I think back-to-back series as well, so in pretty close time.
Yeah. Allen also rushed for 86 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Which goes back to what you were saying before. Like, everyone's going, how good's it? Allen's put on 86 in his legs. But, yeah, definitely a surprise, and good on the Jets. Their defense played huge. I know the Bills scored 17, but they've been averaging 30, so... huge game for the Jets D, and it'll be interesting to see what comes of Josh Allen's elbow injury.
Yeah, fingers crossed like that it's not too long, but if anyone hasn't seen it, go back and look up it on YouTube or find it on Twitter or wherever you get your information from, and just have a little look about how far back his elbow snaps. It is not well.
I don't know if I want it.
Obviously put a little warning out there, not for the faint-hearted. Next game, we had the Vikings versus the Commanders. The Vikings took this one away, 20-17. Cousins threw for 265 yards and two touchdowns. Receiving yards was Jefferson with 115 yards and one touchdown.
Yeah. Another game where the Commanders were actually in command. Sorry for the pun, but the Vikings come home strong and again finished it on the whistle with a Greg Joseph late field goal to win against the Commanders. So another, they just keep doing what they need to do, and 7-1, no one would have picked that at the start of the year. I definitely didn't.
No, absolutely not. And just another great close game.
And good on it's probably good on the Commanders for keeping it. Taylor Heineke, just he's the kind of quarterback that just keeps their teams in it. So they, like I said, they were right up into it, right until the final siren. So yeah, they're not a bad loss if you can have a bad loss, I guess, or not a bad loss.
Next, the old TC24 might have been a bit upset about this game after the Raiders blew a 17-point lead to the Jaguars. So it ended up being 27-20. So the Jags got up on that one.
And like you said, they were up 17-0. Devontae at halftime had 9 receptions, 135 yards and 2 touchdowns. Finished with 10 receptions, 146, which is still amazing. But only 1 reception in the second half really kind of signifies how the game went.
Yeah. So the Jags obviously decided to kick in the second gear, like pretty much from the second quarter onwards. And then, the Raiders just not scoring at all in the second half is just not acceptable. You're not going to win a game by doing that.
No, you can't do that kind of shit. So, yeah, TC24 and I, our team both suck. I got a message from him earlier and said, both our teams are shit. Well, yeah, it's pretty accurate, to be honest.
Maybe that's the real reason you got me on the pod, because you're like, well, if you're going to add all our teams together, we need some wins. We need some wins on the board.
Yeah, we need your 8-0 just to boost our odds.
Yeah, exactly. It's like trying to get a couple more wins in your fantasy. Like any category that you win in is worth a win.
Absolutely. Welcome aboard.
So good to be here. Love being a winner. So next we had the Seahawks versus the Cardinals. The Seahawks took away this one, 31-21. Smith threw for 275 yards and 2 touchdowns. Walker, the third, rushed for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns. I didn't actually catch this one, so if you've got some...
Another game that Cardinals were favourite, but I was sneakily pretty confident in the Seahawks, and Geno Smith, who just plays his system so well, a really good win for them on the road in Arizona. And Walker, who you mentioned, another running back who's a rookie, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns, and Noah Fant, who was part of the trade for Russell Wilson, he's come up pretty big as a tight end as well. 5 receptions for 96 yards and a couple of big ones late, so... The Seahawks, who are leading their division, they just keep doing what they need to do, like 6-3, and they're ahead.
Yeah. With the next game, we had the Rams versus the Buccaneers, which we touched on earlier with Tom Brady getting his 100,000 yard. They actually took away this one 16-13 the final drive, wasn't it?
It was the final drive, yeah. Did you actually see this one?
Yeah. So I actually watched this one. So it was good. Like I said before, it was good to see Tom Brady get back to his regular self. Like, he only threw for his first touchdown in the fourth, and that was the one that they needed. He had a very close option with about 2 minutes to go, but it was still pretty incredible that they managed to get back down. On the final play.
It was maybe just over a minute to go, no timeouts, and he was able to go 65 yards. In the air to win the game. It was a huge win for them. So,
I kind of did
good on Brady, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did their standard where they throw to the sideline to run out to get the clock to stop. But it just, every single time, it was like they were running the same play. It just looked perfect.
Yeah.
Which is always good to see Brady get back to that form that he was having. And, like you said, maybe it is because the divorce papers are finally signed. And let's see how long he'll go.
I want to know, he's a single man. Right? Yeah, also, absolutely. On the other side, what's going on with the Rams? Super Bowl champions.
Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah, really struggling.
So the Super Bowl hangover is definitely real with the Rams here.
There is some rumours of a bit of infighting, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what actually happens.
Yeah, I guess it always is hard, like, unless you're going to be one of those elite teams that are going to keep on going back, like how the Patriots were back when Brady was there. Like, unless you're going to be one of those teams that are going to keep on going back to the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl hangover is a thing. And it does happen. It probably happens in almost all sports where after you've already gone to the big stage, you put so much pressure on yourself to get back there that it almost backfires on you, unless you've got really, really good continuity within your team. And by the sounds of it, the Rams do not have that at the moment.
Nope, not at the moment. There's still a long way to go, but yeah, definitely some problems to sort out there.
And then the final game that's obviously not live, the final game that's actually finished, was the Titans versus Chiefs, which went to overtime. The Chiefs ended up getting this with a field goal in OT, so it was 20-17. Patrick Mahomes obviously played an incredible game, passed for 446 yards, one touchdown. It was almost like the Chiefs were like to Patrick Mahomes at the end, which was like, we're going to put the whole game on your shoulders, win this for us. So to get them to overtime, like, they outscored the Titans in the fourth, 8-0. And that was off a rushing touchdown from Mahomes. And then he was like, we need to get a 2-point conversion. And he was looking for the pass, looking for the pass, looking for the pass, couldn't see anything, rolled off and rushed his own 2-point conversion as well. So if it wasn't for Mahomes, it would have been in overtime. They would have even had a chance to win this game. So Mahomes absolutely put the team on his back and took this one.
Yeah, so the Titans came out early. They had Malik Willis starting, who's the rookie QB for them. And Derrick Henry, he put the game on his back to start with. So he carried for 115 and two touchdowns, all in the first half pretty much. In the second half, you barely saw the Titans. So it was a grouse win by the Chiefs, because another one where they were behind the eight ball early, but just clawed it back, got to square, so to take it out overtime, and just never looked back once they got there. And they kicked the field goal, and then their defense held up pretty well. That was a three and out, so they dominated in overtime. But yeah, another really good win by the Chiefs, just to keep rolling.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Chiefs are now gone up to 6-2, which is looking in a very healthy position as we start coming towards, you know, the tail end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Good work, mate. That's our first review done and dusted. We actually got through it, and we did. Did pretty well. Well done.
Yeah, and just a quick update on the live game. The Ravens are up 17-6 with, is it 11 minutes to go in the fourth?
11 minutes and 4 seconds, yeah. Someone just went off on a card. I didn't see who it was, but that's never good. But yeah, 11 minutes, but the Ravens have the ball. So not looking good for the Saints.
No. But they also haven't necessarily had the greatest season either.
No, a couple of good wins, couple of shit losses by them. So
yeah,
good work, mate. I don't have the. I'm gonna see if I can get it up. The old finishing thing. Just I sometimes forget to say it. But what's on for the rest of your day while I find this?
Oh well, now I've got to go back and catch up on all the basketball games that I've missed. Like I said, there was 15 games, so I take my NBA fantasy very, very seriously. So it's actually made this NBA season more stressful than I was actually planning.
Yeah, so now that's what we're after.
Yeah, and when you pick a different player from each team, and you end up having to watch every single game, so which is good. Like, don't get me wrong, love my sport, and only having one arm, there's not a whole lot more I can really be doing anyway.
I really do seem to be looking after the injured firefighters of Melbourne, just putting them on the podcast every time they get injured. But that's all right.
That's what you do. You're like a big ambulance that just comes and picks us up and takes us for a ride
and gets you through. I can't find our finisher, so I'm going to try and go off the top of our head. So if you do like the podcast, make sure you like and subscribe, and send set that little notification to say that. Well, when we're on. So like today, we're on in, 2 o'clock. You could watch us live on YouTube. So make sure you tell your friends, your family, your neighbours, and maybe your doctor, because you and Karts have been at the doctors a fair bit.
Yeah, absolutely. My doctor's going to ask me tomorrow, what have you been doing? And I've been like, have you not heard? I'm the latest host. I'm the latest host of the Any Given Sunday podcast.
You're the new co-hostess with the mostest, mate. So.
What an honour. Sure what an honour. That.
And then make sure you find us on all the socials. Twitter is AGSAU podcast. Instagram is anygivensunday.au. And then Facebook. What's the other one? TikTok and YouTube are all just Any Given Sunday Australia. I reckon we did all right. We got through it.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. Like, you don't need your notes. Yeah. Just always go off the cuff.
Nah, do not need my notes. No, I do. I definitely do need my notes. But, so Thursday, you're meant to be, but I am on day shift. So we'll be on Thursday night late in the afternoon, live on YouTube. So make sure that you're ready to go with your 4 hours of study beforehand.
Absolutely.
And everyone else, make sure you're ready. Tune in, watch us live on YouTube. Perfect.
I was like, am I to add something there? Like, I'll be there. I've done my four hours of overtime.
Nice, mate. Good work. All right, we'll go enjoy this sunny. We've got some beautiful weather finally in Melbourne, so go enjoy the weather, mate.
Oh, absolutely. You know me, man.
Good man.
Straight to the sun.
Yeah, I'll see you then.